Blog Talk Radio.
The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Welcome to What's New with VH Hughes. I'm your host, Venus Henderson Hughes. In the studio today, I have my co-host, Christopher Hughes. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
So today's show, we're talking about life after adoption. And for those of you who don't know, we adopted our three grandchildren a year ago this past Halloween. And so we wanted to talk about just how the journey has been. Fair enough, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, so where do you want to start at?
First and foremost, people that are going through the same thing that we went through, fear that most of y'all know that is a very trying and challenging time, especially dealing with the fact of the kids not being used to their biological parents being there, probably have questions on why that is or, you know, what's going on. And I know it's a struggle as grandparents or, you know,
kinship families,
your additional family members, aunties, uncles, what have you, to settle their fears or concerns the best to your ability, but sometimes it doesn't always work out that way.
True. Join the conversation. Give us a call at area code 516-453-9934. So let's go back a little bit. So we first got our grandsons in April 2014, and in that journey, we thought that give some time and they would return to their mothers. Okay, I thought that. Chris didn't think that, but that was the thought, and that was the actual hope that we both, I believe, had at some point in the journey.
I can concur with that. I think both of us was hoping that our daughter would have got her stuff together. Understand that as a parent, it's the child's needs before your own, and she will acclimate from that point. Unfortunately, that didn't work out that way.
So after maybe a year's time and all the different things that happened, not even a year's time, because actually we got Trinity that January 2015, so it wasn't even a year's time, maybe 6 to 7 months' time, our new reality started to take hold. And in some cases, it was okay, and in other cases, it was a bit of a shock. And at this point, we're still dealing with the foster system. So we had to deal with case managers, and we had to deal with licensing agencies.
In fact, that as grandparents, we really didn't have any say at too much of anything for the kids' welfare without the blessing of our daughter on certain situations.
There were some double standards and triple standards. The one thing that I remember I couldn't understand was how is it that you have deemed her unfit to have her children, and yet she still gets to make decisions about her children. So that was one of the biggest things that sort of stuck in my throat in the process in the foster care system. Now, it took, a little over 2 years to get to severance, almost 3 years to get to severance. Because severance happened in 2016, so a little over 2 years. They came in 2014. So it wasn't an overnight thing, and it was taxing, and it was taxing not only on us individually, but it was taxing on us as a family, and it was taxing on the kids because they didn't see their mom as often as children would like to see their mom. The scheduled visits were hit and miss, and it was hard to explain to the two little boys about why they weren't seeing their mom, and she didn't call. There was no constant communication for them. So that in itself became tremendously hard on all of us. And then, of course, when severance happened, we thought that this was going to be this wonderful door-opening experience, and it turned out we still had to, as I say, hurry up and wait, because we had to get a court date, and we had to do all of those things that we needed. We had to make sure that all the parents were severed, so you had to go to court for that as well. The first parent that was severed was the boy's dad. So he was severed in February of 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And he had had no communication period with the kids since he left in 2014, that September. And that was that. So that was pretty easy for them. So we just automatically thought that the other two would sort of fall in line, the other two parents. And it didn't happen that way. We still had to wait. And once we did go to court to do the severance, it was done. Seemed like everything would fall in line. I think we still had a few more months before we switched over to the adoption side of things. And once we switched over to the adoption side of things, it definitely wasn't this all-inspiring, door-opening experience. There was a lot of lack of communication. We didn't have a person to sort of – we had a person, don't get me wrong. We had an adoption case manager, but he was not one who sort of gave us, like, all the steps and things like that. And I was used to being able to ask someone, okay, so what do we do here or what do we do there? And we didn't have that, so a lot of times we were sort of flying blind. And in the midst of that, you know, we were finding out the different various health issues that the kids had. One had asthma, you know, one had GI issues, skin issues, and one had epilepsy and developmental delay. So we had all this on our plates and still had no idea what would happen after we became the official parents of record. Oh, yeah, just say, Chris.
Also with that, again, for those that are going through some situations of kinship fostering, looking to adopt, you know, definitely it's a worthwhile endeavor to make sure that the kids are taken care of and are raised correctly. But understand, as I mentioned before, this is a very challenging scenario. As my wife just mentioned, far the fact of the extra things not seen beforehand, as far as any mental issues or things that kids have probably gone through that have cause them some type of mental anguish is going to be on your shoulders now going through this process. So definitely it takes a lot of patience, not only with the kids, but with the system in itself, as far as getting everything finalized for you to be able to, one, have some say in the kid's life, and two, not having to worry about the blowback from the parents or parent, you know, your daughter or son or whatever, trying to call himself, holding on ties with the kid when hopefully it's the fact that they have enough wherewithal to realize that they're not ready to be parents as of yet and sign their parental rights away, so that you won't have to worry about that hassle of them always wearing an ugly head to call themselves trying to have authority of a situation that they, by right, shouldn't have authority over.
Well, one of the things that I looked at as far as the adoption went, I thought that it would have been an opportunity for the kids to still have a relationship with their mom. It was not something that was squashed or even unheard of. It just has not really happened that way. Join us for the conversation, area code 516-453-9934. The thing that I look at, not even just in our situation, but in all kinds of kinship, foster care, whether it's a brother, a sister, an auntie, a cousin, whatever the case may be, or grandparents, the awkwardness that comes with it, because especially with the age range of the kids that we had at the time, now their ages have changed, but the boys were old enough to recognize us as their grandparent, whereas Trinity was a newborn, per se. And so we have been the only parents that she really knows. And yet it's still sort of an awkwardness because we know that these are our grandchildren, but yet legally they are now our children. In becoming their parents and ensuring that they're all okay and things like that, there's still this sort of proverbial shoe that is always ready to drop because you're now looked at under such scrutiny because these children were once in the system. And, of course, anything that had happened to them follows them. So if something happens, you know, all they do is go in the system and see that they were in the system as well. So you have that on your shoulders as well. And it's really tough because you can't be completely and totally a parent, whether it's disciplining your child or whatever the case may be. It's difficult. And there are not a lot of services that are available to you as an adoptive parent compared to a foster parent as well. You know, we have had situations where we were in need of, you know, clothes and things like that. And, you know, we just had to figure it out. As a foster parent, especially a kinship foster parent, there are agencies that help you with diapers and clothes and things like that. You know, once you're a mom and dad, you're it. But it is our hope, especially with our young program, young grandparents observing, understanding, nurturing grandchildren, that we could be a catalyst to help those adoptive parents and even parents considering being foster care, kinship foster care families in situations where they are in need, and we can get them either to the right place or we can help them. So we're working on that. That's why that program was created. This is National Adoption Month. This is a huge month where all little kids, not just kinship, but kids all over are looking for this particular month so they can be adopted, so they can find their quote-unquote forever home.
Please, for those that are listening, again, go through the same thing we went through or in the same processes. Understand something. As I mentioned, definitely you are to be commended for stepping up in the situation that your son, daughter, uncle, whatever situation it is that the child's in the system and you're trying to take steps to have the responsibility on yourself to make sure that that child or children are taken care of. But a situation happened in our process that, you know, we felt that it was a little too much on us to go ahead and take the kids, that we didn't have the tools and toolbox, as I said, to take care of the children as they needed to, and we're going to allow them to go back in the system. And instead of any support, it seemed like the agency and some of the folks that came by want to vilify and ostracize us, especially my wife, on decision, as if we're being selfish and not thinking about the kids, and that's not the case. So if, God forbid, anything comes like that to you or in that way for whatever agency or profession that you're dealing with, stand firm. It's the fact that you feel that you don't have the tools to take care of the child, whatever situation he or she or they have, it is what it is. You should not be beat up upon. You should not be ridiculed or ostracized or vilified in any way, shape, or form. Because these individuals that are in these organizations, their goal and only goal is to make sure that the bylines as a foster care, kinship, foster, adoption person is to follow the rules and regulations through their agency that you have to go through. As far as the fact of how you feel, getting them maybe 20 times a night for someone, or the fact that a particular child is crying, you don't have any way to help them, or potty training, or whatever the situation is, and that's too much for you. That's understandable, and it shouldn't be used as a backhanded slap to you if you feel that it's too much for you or on your plate to help this child or children.
Well, now I know that in our journey we had a lot, and there was a point where we seriously considered not going further in the process. And when I say not going further in the process, I mean adopting the kids, period. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it had nothing to do with the kids per se. It had to do with just the huge responsibilities. We had our granddaughter who was in failure to thrive, and she needed a lot of care. And then we had our grandsons who, you know, were having their situations, and it was one of those things where we were trying to sort of make a decision on what was best for everyone involved. And it wasn't the case of loving one more over the other one. It was just the fact that how can you sort of split yourself to make sure that they all were handled, and we were definitely under a microscope. And that, again, was before we got to the adoption stage. The bumps and the bruises and the pain that went along with that, not only just from your own child, but from the preconceived notions of the agencies that I received on so many occasions because of whatever, and I didn't care, and I still don't care to look into whatever was thought about me. My whole end-all, be-all was to make sure that these children had whatever they needed, and I still do that. The whole advocacy part of things, even with our nonprofit, is to make sure that people are able to get their end results. I'm not new to advocacy. Advocacy started a long time ago with working with my mom and my grandmother, and it just fit, especially with getting to the needs of these children. So, no, I did not know the first, you know, things as far as, you know, signing someone up for developmental disabilities, or, you know, AZIP or any of those things or any other sort. But I researched, I learned, I asked questions, and that's what happened. And now that the kids are adopted, they still have some of the services in place, especially with them going to school and things like that. But it's not as easy as it was, or difficult as it was too, because we don't have some of the difficulties. We don't have those barriers of having to wait to get the green light from the state of Arizona anymore. We are the green light, but there are still difficulties because of the fact is that, you know, they're still on Medicaid because that's what's basically best for them, especially with the various conditions that they have. But I like I said, I honestly didn't think that we were going to get to adoption, and now that we have celebrated our year after adoption. And, you know, some of the thoughts and feelings have sort of went away, and some are still there as fresh as they were. But especially with knowing the effort that should have been there for those three was placed on another child by our daughter. So the effort and the experience, I'm not going to say it's devastating to know that there was much more effort put into the newer child than it was to the three, and the three really needed it, especially with the older one. So he definitely suffered in not having continual relationships with his mom. But, you know, maybe, you know, we don't know the future. Maybe in the future, and hopefully in the near future, things will change.
Yeah, but at the same time, I still feel, in my experience with this, that the aspect of most parents, you know, appearing in their kid's life, hey, I'm your dad or mom, and then going about their business to live their life how they want to and not be there for the child, is a disservice to the child. So if it's the fact that later on in their lives they want to have their mom, you know, in their life, whatever it be, I'm not going to stop that. But for the time being, as far as setting up a stable, viable, safe environment for them, they're dealing with their mom, or if the biological father want to call, can it be, to reach out, whatever can it be, it's a disservice and actually disrespectful to me towards them, since, like you mentioned, the energy for their youngest sibling seem to be more intact for our daughter than anything else for right now.
Well, you know, my policy, you know, you don't, bridges have to be built and at some point crossed. And right now, you know, all bridges have been sort of blown up and have to be rebuilt, have to be established. I don't see those bridges being really built until there's a for real effort. And I don't see that effort there. You know, there's one thing to send lovely little, you know, emails or birthday emails or things like that, but it's one thing to put an effort. All in all, I can say that our life after adoption, it has not been all difficult. It hasn't been easy either. But, you know, when you are reparenting or parenting again or in your second parenthood, whatever you want to call it, being a parent is not an easy task in itself.
True.
And it's even more difficult when you're parenting somebody else's children and they become yours. So,
yeah, the whole aspect of restarting again as parents is definitely a challenging thing, especially when you've done your due diligence to take care of your own kids, and for whatever reason, good, bad, or different, they go on their own to do their own thing, whatever, is the hope and blessing that they have some wherewithal to live their life like they want to, but if it's the fact of bringing in responsibility that they're not ready for, they wouldn't do that now. Most families, unfortunately, go through that where they deal with their children or family member who then living their life how they want to and being out there like that. As I said, a lot of the young folks I've talked to, the aspect of having children and not taking care of them, and then they go in the system, and then the family members, you know, whoever that might be, wants to make sure that child is taken care of. It's just, to me, again, a disservice for that whole, hey, I'm your mom, I'm your dad, every few weeks or every few months or whatever. That's wrong. I can never say our daughter doesn't love her kids. I just always post the fact that she doesn't love them enough as a parent is supposed to sacrifice their wants and whims for the sake of their children.
Well, a child is a responsibility, and not everybody is ready for that responsibility. Whatever age they are, some people are just not ready. Regardless of the fact, there are so many children out there still, whether they are in kinship foster care or regular foster care, that are in need of homes. And it is my hope that at some point that the numbers in foster care will dwindle. And instead, unfortunately, they're getting higher. There are so many children out there in need of a home. There are so many children out there in need of someone to just basically tell them that they are beautiful and they are loved and everything is going to be okay. I am thankful that we were able to take the three that we have. I don't know how. It is definitely by God's grace that we were able to step in and be there for them. Difficult or not, we are there, and we are there for the long haul. And it is my hope and my wish that they all grow up to be responsible, productive young men and young lady, because she's not plural, young ladies, and also great members of society. And with that, H3P, or Henderson Hughes Health Partners, currently has a fundraiser going on to extend our community outreach. So we have some community outreach programs, one dealing with the back-to-school drives that we do, another one dealing with the hygiene packages that we do, and the other one has to do with the cleaning products that we do. And we would like to be able to extend our reach, you know, and if you can help, that would be great. You can log on to facebook.com/ Henderson Hughes Health Partners, H3P. You definitely can look on to our website as well, www.h3p.org. We also are participating for the first time in Giving Tuesday, and Giving Tuesday is this Tuesday. And our giving story is also on our website as well. We want to be able to help as many people as possible, and we cannot do it alone. We do need your help. Do you have any more with regard to either Giving Tuesday, the fundraiser, Life After Adoption? How do you feel, Chris? You know what? I know it's been rough. It really has. But how do you feel after this adoption? We've just celebrated a year. So how do you feel being dad all over again?
It's an interesting feeling altogether. The aspect of me as a grandparent, not really enjoying that part of it.
And you sort of feel like you got robbed out of being a grandparent.
In a matter of speaking, because I hear most grandparents, you know, enjoying their time with their grandkids
and giving
on the weekend.
Them back.
And, right, well, that's the thing. Weekend, holidays, you know, special occasion or whatever, and they're able to return them to their viable, responsible parents. We never had the opportunity. We have our kids 24/7. So here it is. It's a bittersweet thing as far as the fact that, again, we've done our job as parents, as responsible parents, to raise our children. But now we're starting over again with our oldest child's kids, before being able to enjoy our lives as, you know, wild responsibility, as parents. But I can say that it's been an incredible journey due to the fact that, when we first, got them, from foster care or from the system, and the way that they were as far as not really speaking that well, not even speaking at all. Sometimes they really eat all that well or whatever, and to hear them thriving a lot better since that time period, that's an amazing blessing. So all we can hope for and continue to thrive for is to make sure that they're okay, safe, food in their stomach, clothes on their back, roof over their head, and struggle and make them viable as our parents are supposed to.
I will say that when the boys did arrive, it was limited vocabulary, and both were in special preschool. But to see them, you know, one is still going to be in special ed because of the developmental delay, but to have one that actually came out and to see him doing so well, and to see that our daughter, our new little daughter, she's doing well, and she's about to start preschool. We must be doing something right. And I know that it is a rough time at times, and there's times where I truly don't want to be an adult. But I am so thankful that we see the progress, and the progress is continuing. And yeah, sometimes things do go backwards. But all in all, I know that it is the best decision that we have ever made. I would not change a thing. I love all three of them, and the fourth that is there. And I know that everything will be okay. This has been What's New with VH Hughes. I am your host, Venus Henderson Hughes. Have a great day. Bye-bye.